Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Excited Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Success Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Successor Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Success Gospel Bus here on the Success Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4 F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And so, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the old gospel bus as we pull out of the station tonight?
We got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and me.
Well, well, welcome, Sister Emily. You kind of wasn't with us on the earlier program, but you're with us now. We hope you're feeling better.
No better, ain't tactile.
Ah.
All right.
That sounds good. All right. So, what do you got in the way of prayer requests for us?
An unspoken from Mom, me. Be praying that the finances will come through to get Dad's ashes back home with me and get our storage unit taken care of so we don't lose anything.
Okay.
Also be keeping me in prayer. I will find out this week when I go in to have a medical procedure done.
Okay.
And with that I'm complete, Ken.
All right. Well, Ruthie, what do you got?
Well, I'm praising the Lord. I get to go in the pool tomorrow. I saw Keenan today, and I thank the Lord for that because he said that your knees are very tight. You need to get in the water now. So I'm heading over there tomorrow, and I praise the Lord for it. Any other prayer requests that we have from Emily, I'll agree on those. We've been forgetting to pray for Eric Martin. I got to get a hold of Tanya. We keep forgetting to call and check on him. Let me think. Who else? I have to think of here. Oh, I talked to Tim today. He said that he's about had it. And he says if they don't start helping him financially, some of the people, he said he's got to get a job. And he doesn't want to go back to his parents because his parents, the way he puts it, it's kind of personal. I'll leave it. So why don't we just go ahead and pray?
All right. Of course, as you just mentioned, Ruth, Tim over there in Israel, situation in Israel itself, the war over there, the situation with obviously praying for all our country's leaders, different countries around the world, that they seek after God, not after man. We want to pray for obviously our military, all our first responders, our sick and shut-in, our medical workers, keeping all that in prayer, no matter where they may be. And we want to keep and pray for the lost in general, especially a soul who is nearest hell. Pray for the Six Eyes Radio Network, the blind ministry, its need for a bus. And keep in prayer as we get ready to shift tonight. You're going to see, since Tim has already claimed top dog for the song and poem, he was 25 for 26 last week. This week we will not have a song and poem, at least maybe for a couple of weeks here. But as we get ready to make that shift, we will be making a shift into, as we get done with the highlighted sermons from our blind ministry,
And then after that shift, we are going to be going into having the Word of the King, which has been a lot permitted by the Six Eyes Radio Network to be now showed here on the Wednesday night Bible study. So that will be taking the place of the highlighted sermons and obviously the song and poem, that section there that has been, that's going to be now replaced with obviously the Word of the King segment. So the Word of the King will be right here on Wednesday night Bible study. And then, obviously, Ruth and her Bible prophecy will still remain here on Wednesday nights. So we want to look forward to those new changes to the Wednesday night Bible study. Everybody will enjoy that. And then, of course, we've got always our great gospel music. And, of course, we always are taking prayer requests as they come along. And then we want to continue to pray, obviously, for Tim, and we will be giving all the information each week on how that, obviously, it's pretty easy. If you wish to give a donation to Brother Tim, as Ruth was mentioning, you could do that through the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. You just go straight down to where it says Love Offerings, and when you click on that Love Offerings link and you use your credit card or PayPal account to make a donation on Holiness Bibles for the Blind, where it's secure there, you could do that. But where it says, what is this donation for, just type in either Tim Gruber or the Word of the King or just Brother Tim. Any of those will let us know that the donation is for Brother Tim, and we will get that to him. If it's for the bus, just indicate that it is for the bus that we're trying to raise money for as well. If it's just plain for the Holiness Bibles for the Blind ministry, you don't need to add anything into that box. So that's what you do. And if it's a check or money order, just remember you can send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ohio, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005, and just make it payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, whether check or money order. And in the memo line, you do the same thing as you would for the website. If it's for Tim Gruber, either just put Tim Gruber, Brother Tim, Tim, Word of the King, or if it's for the bus, just put the word bus there. And if it's none of those, just don't have to put nothing on the memo line. And we will know where it's got to go, and it will get there. Okay. So, with all of that, we are going to ask Sister Ruth to open us in prayer, and then we are going to get right into our great gospel music and our highlighted message and everything.
Dear Lord, well, I have some burdens for Emily tonight and her mom. I really feel sad that they're both not feeling well. And she sits up there about a procedure. We'll guide the surgeon's hands as the person does it. And I thank you, Lord, for what you did for me today. I'm just eventually going to probably get better knees, I'm hoping, through all this exercise and lose the weight. Be with Tim, be with Kenny, and all of us as we try to work together with the ministry here with Six. And be with us all as we enjoy the program. And just want to praise your name. Amen.
Amen. Now, of course, as we mentioned, we are going to have our great gospel songs that you can do a little boogie hoedown with. Of course, they're Southern gospel type music. Then we're going to get into our spotlighted sermon. This one, if you wish to get a copy, all you got to do is go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, click on sermons, and then you click on salvation. Once you click salvation, go right down to the bottom of that list, the very last one. And Emily, you're going to love this one because it's a good message for you and for everybody listening. You are special.
Amen.
You are special. So this is a great message for everybody. a little encouragement for everybody. You are special. So that's the title. When you click on that, you'll be given all the details, and you'll have your download link right there. Don't cost you one red cent to download. As soon as you hit download, automatically it will download to your device, computer, whatever, and it doesn't cost you a nickel. But if you wish to give a love offering, there's a love offering link right there on the page for your convenience, but not required to get that download. We do not charge for the Word of God. No, Jesus didn't charge when he preached on the seashore of Galilee, nor on the Mount of Olives. When he preached, he did not stick an offering hat out there and say, well, before I preach and give you the word, I want some money. He didn't do that. So we don't do that neither at Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You could get our messages totally free of charge. But, yes, a love offering helps to keep us going. We would appreciate that. But you can get that download by just doing, like I said, go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, click sermons, click salvation, and then click finally, you are special. And then right on that page gives you all the details and, of course, the download link where you can get that message. And then, finally, Ruth is going to have us in her Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us, Ruth?
Armageddon and 6 just arrived.
Ooh, Armageddon. Okay, well, since 6 just joined us, before we get going, hey, we're going to give him an opportunity for his prayer requests. All right, 6. Okay. Is his mic open, Ruth?
Yeah.
Okay, 6, your mic is open. You have to unmute your own self, 6. You're definitely unmuted on the board. That's weird. He must be just wanting to listen in because he's not saying anything.
That's what I'm suspecting. And you know he usually prays for his family and all that. So.
Okay. And you're positive his mic is open, Ruth?
Yeah, I purposely opened them all. So I got 3 open and that's it.
Okay.
He's one of them.
Well, I just wanted you to be sure. Or did he accidentally drop and pop back in? Go double check.
No, he's there and it's on. The mics are on, all 3 of them, and his is on.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to be sure. I'm trying to give him an opportunity, him being the head of our station here. Okay. Well, with that, I think we'll just go ahead and get right into our music tonight. He may choose to have some prayer requests at the end of the show. All right. So let's get right in and boogie.
Reflecting your light, shining in the To roam, the love of God. I was thinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Thank you.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
My name's Anastasia, and I am Alana.
Go. And I am Autumn.
I am Iron Journey.
And I am in Ariel.
Hi, my name is Journey, and we're donating toys so we can help the homeless and the animal shelters.
Hi, my name is Autumn. Please contact James.
839 West Prospect Road. Up.
Ohio. Thank you!
Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. We're going into Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8.
But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
And as you can see, God speaks to the Son, Jesus Christ, and he says, thy kingdom, O God. God himself calls Jesus God, which is also found in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God, and he has the scepter forever. So, that is found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Amen.
First I go and empty-handed, that's my Redeemer me. Not one day
must I empty-handed go? Just have Nearer to thee.
Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Eshtubule Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, .bibles.for.the.blind@gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, .bibles.for.the.blind@gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, katie@gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, katie@gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is that time once again for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Shalom, yet again. Dear listener, this is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you once again from the city of Jerusalem, the land of Israel, with the Hebrew Word of the Week. And this week's Hebrew word is the word for water, which is mime. Again, the Hebrew word for mime, M-A-I-M, mime. And the verses for this reward of the week comes from 1 Kings 18, verses 33 down through 39. And again, we're talking water. In Hebrew, mime. M-A-I-M, mime. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And in case you're wondering, dear listener, why Elijah was led of the Lord to tell him to do it three times, because God says by two or three witnesses shall everything be established. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And when you think about it in that context also, you can also say that each time the water got poured on the burnt sacrifice and the wood, each time that water, that mime, got poured on, surely it had to do with two or three witnesses. Each point of the water was a picture of, for each member of the Godhead, the water, one point representing the Father, one point representing the witness of the Son, and another point representing the witness of the Spirit, even as 1 John 5:7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Verse 35 down to 39, and the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water, and it came to pass at the time of the offering, at the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water, mime, that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And indeed, our God, Elohim, the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, Abba, Ben, Ruach, Kadesh, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he is a consuming fire. Until next time, this has been Brother Timothy Groover coming to you again from the city of Jerusalem, land of Israel, with the Hebrew word of the week. God bless. Shalom.
Oh, Walking hand in hand.
but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruthie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too clean for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man. As he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze.
reach somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
For things which bring real love, joy, peace, and purpose to life. And even if I never met you, I know that you two are a very special person. Perhaps you've never thought of it this way, but you're a very special person to yourself. No one spends more time with you than you do. You are your constant companion for life. There are a number of things that I think you like about yourself. Sometimes you are even pleasantly surprised by your thoughts and words or abilities. We'll not talk about the times you disappoint yourself now. No human on earth understands your likes, dislikes, and feelings as much as you do. You spend a great deal of time taking care of your needs and preparing for your future. Yes, you are a very special person to yourself. You are also a very special person to your family, though sometimes they may not express it quite the way you think they should. Their time, effort, and expense prove that you are indeed special to them. And, of course, you're very special to your true friends. They like your attention and your companionship. They appreciate your willingness to listen, to show interest, and help them in their times of needs. You're also very special to the whole world. Each of us can be a blessing or a burden. If you are responsible and reach out to meet the needs of others, you will make this world a little better for everyone and leave a great example for future generations. Most of all, you are very special to God. God has never made, nor will he ever make, another person just like you. You have special physical, emotional, and intellectual blends of strengths and weaknesses designed to perfectly fulfill God's plan for your life. Though some doubt God's undeserved and perfect love, it's still true. It is proven beyond question by the giving of his only son, Jesus, to die in your place. He wants you to serve with him, helping to fulfill his eternal plan. And he wants you to live with him forever in that perfect place called heaven. Wouldn't it be great if we could know for sure beyond any doubt that we're going to go to heaven? If your answer is yes, I've got some great news for you. Did you know that the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, ye may know that ye have eternal life? That means you. You can know it now. I'd like to share just a few verses straight from the Bible that shows us that we can be sure of heaven. First of all, we all have the same problem, of course, which is sin. And God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, obviously, some people sin more than others, but nonetheless, all of us have sinned and are thus sinners. Now, God says the penalty of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Now, that is not just physical death. In Revelation 20 and 14, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is known as the second death. The Bible is true. There is a real heaven and a real hell. And even though we all deserve to go to hell for breaking God's law, according to 2 Peter 3:9, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in order to make that possible, God had to provide a way, which he did by the substitution of his own Son. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I could not die for you because I have sins of my own, and that's true of everybody. But Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was God the Son. And 1 Peter 2:22 says, he did no sin. That is what qualified him to get on the cross between me and my sin and die in my place. Christ's resurrection proved his payment was accepted by God the Father, and there is life after death, and that Christ alone can give that life. However, even though he died in every person's place and he paid the sin debt, that does not mean that everyone's going to go to heaven. In order to get the benefit out of what he has done for us, we actually have to at some point receive him as our own personal Savior, like it says in John 1:12. I guess God compares it to marriage. Like Christ is the bridegroom and we are the bride. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 27. Now in a normal marriage, the bride becomes the co-owner of the husband's possessions. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we get everything that comes with him. His perfect righteousness is applied to our account, and his total payment for all our sins, past, present, and even future. He paid the total hell debt. So when we receive Christ, God can look at us and see Christ's perfect righteousness, sinlessness, and total payment for our sins and say, qualified, come into my family. Thus we are born into the family of God, John 1:12, John 3:3 through 7. Now there are three things that God asks us in order to receive Christ. First, we must turn to Christ alone for our salvation, John 14:6. With sorrow towards God for having broken his law, 2 Corinthians 7:10. We can't trust in our church, baptism, good works, or anything else to get us to heaven. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I killed someone, I couldn't use years of purchasing Girl Scout cookies to get me off the hook. Good works don't undo bad ones. Besides, you can't pay for a gift someone gives you and have it remain a gift any longer. So first we must turn to Christ alone for salvation. Then secondly, we must call on Christ for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. Before there can be a marriage, there must be a proposal and an acceptance. Upon a mutual agreement and the appropriate action, the marriage transpires. The dating relationship exists until the marriage takes place. Many people date the Lord, in a sense, praying to him, going to church, reading his word, and even trying to serve him. But they have never actually received him at a given point in time, calling on him for salvation. Though the Lord has proposed to each person, he does not treat us like robots and force us into accepting him. We must call by our own will. Has there ever been a specific time that you remember doing that? If you haven't, you should. And if you have, you're only one step away from being sure of heaven. Now remember the first two steps? Number one, turn to Christ alone for salvation. Number two, call on Christ alone for salvation. The final step is that when we call, we must believe without any doubt that he's going to save us. God says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. James 1, 6, 7. Often people look at God's promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they respond in their heart, Well, I sure hope so. However, we should not respond, Lord, I hope you will, but Lord, I know you will. There's a big difference there. Responding, I hope you will, is like calling God a liar. Now, God will not lie to you, but he also expects us to be honest. If we lack faith, he knows that and wants to help, because without faith, we can't go to heaven. So where do you get more faith? Do you go to the supermarket, ask for several bags of faith? Do you go to the gas station and ask for our tank to be filled up with faith? No, we go to the same place the apostles did in Luke 17:5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So if faith is what you need for salvation, and the Lord has it to give, and he's anxious to give it, wouldn't it be foolish not to ask him for it? So the simplicity of the gospel is to turn, call, and believe. Our good works through Christ come in after salvation and determine reward in heaven, not whether or not we get there. Some people think it's too easy to just pray a prayer and have the promise of heaven, but the Lord intended it to be easy for us. Remember, he did all the work. If he said you had to pay $2 million, or read the Bible through 100 times, or climb up some holy mountain on your knees to get to heaven, most wouldn't have a chance. But anybody can turn, call, and believe in their heart. The fact is simple does not mean, however, that it's insignificant. Most two-year-olds can say, I do, but put those same words in the mouth of a bride and a groom on their wedding day, and they become very significant. The best illustration of all, I've told you, is found in one of the thieves who was crucified next to Jesus, Luke the 23rd chapter, verse 39 through 43. In his dying moments, he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The thief did not get baptized, join a church, or pay back the people he had robbed, though those things are good. But he did get saved. Do you know why? Because he turned, he called, and he believed. Does that make sense to you? I appreciate the opportunity to share this good news with you. I'd like to take just a moment and pray for you. Right now, right there where you are, would you just bow your head with me right now? Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me share this good news with those special people that you love so much and gave your life for. I pray your special blessing on those that hear this message. God, meet their needs, comfort their heartaches, and draw them close to yourself. May they now receive the complete assurance of salvation and eternity in heaven by receiving Jesus Christ into their life by faith. My friend, with your head still bowed, if you would like to be sure of heaven, let me invite you to repeat this prayer with me and really mean it. Are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I realize that I'm a lost sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I now, by faith alone, receive you, Jesus, as my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me as you promised. Amen.
Let him have his way.
Of another day. Now, if you did pray, listen again to God's promise in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It does not say might be saved, does it? It says shall be saved. Just think, if you would have died before you received Christ, according to the Bible, you would have gone to hell. But now, according to Romans 10:13, you will go to heaven. What a difference. That's exciting. It's not based on feelings, but on what God says. You are a whosoever. You have called, and when we put our faith in the promise of salvation, God says, we're saved. Now, if a married man would wake up in the morning and say to his wife, I don't feel married, well, she just might get out the marriage license and show it to him. Just like the state of marriage is not based on a feeling, neither is the state of salvation. You've done all God requires in the Bible to complete the contract of salvation, and God says you are saved. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10:28. Now, if you could lose your new life, it would not be eternal. It is eternal because it is based on the finished work of Christ, his righteousness, his total payment for your sins, and his resurrection. Nothing can change that. You have been born into the family of God. John 1:12, John 3:6. You now have a spiritual father as well as a physical father. You can't get unborn. Now, when you sin as a child of God, you hinder your fellowship with God and his power on your life until you clear things up by confession. 1 John 1:9. You also will experience some chastening from the loving hand of your Heavenly Father, who does not want you to ruin your life. Hebrews 12:6-7. But he will not and cannot kick you out of his family. Now that you're saved, the Lord wants you to publicly identify with him. Normally, when a couple gets married, they exchange rings, they kiss and in front of all the wedding guests. They walk out arm in arm and are not at all ashamed to be seen together in public. The Lord does not want us to be ashamed of our new relationship with him either. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10:10. The Lord wants us to let folks know that we belong to Him. You should tell your friends and relatives that you've been saved, and though you may not be a mature Christian, you intend to follow the Lord and grow in His likeness. They may give you a hard time, but they often wish they could be sure of heaven too. Regardless, Christ wants us to take our stand with Him. Openly professing Christ is the next step the Lord has for you. After all He did for us publicly on the cross, we should be willing to let folks know that we have received Him. Seemingly, the greatest thing that could happen for the Christian would be to go to heaven right after they accept Christ. Everything is perfect in heaven. No bills, no sickness, sin, Satan, or problems of any kind. Life on earth is filled with problems. Why then does God leave us alone here? You know, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain," Philippians 1:21. What he meant by that was to stay on this earth allowed him to serve as Christ's hands, feet, tongue. Well, you get the idea. Christ said he came not to be ministered to, but to minister, Mark 10:45. He also said, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you," John 20, verse 21. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man that receives the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So you can see your life now has eternal purpose. You now represent Christ, and hey, He's counting on you to help reach and serve the world for Him and through Him. And you can start at once through prayer and witnessing. There's not a place in the world you cannot go in prayer from right where you are, for God is there. You can also begin telling others how they can be saved by telling them how you got saved. Thanks so much for letting me share these important things with you. Determined to spend much time reading your Bible, Psalms and Proverbs and the Gospel of John are just a few of the many great portions to start with in the Word of God. Ask the Lord to help you moment by moment with every decision, every word, and every deed. Determine with God's help that you will do whatever He says. There will still be many problems, and likely some new ones too. But hey, now you have Jesus Christ in your life to help you through it. May the Lord richly bless you in the days ahead.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be broken. want to go. This world would be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
Lesson is entitled Armageddon. From the lofty summit of Mount Tabor, traditionally the Mount of Transfiguration, one beholds a panoramic view of the Holy Land. On a clear day, to the north and east, the sparkling waters of the Sea of Galilee can be seen. To the north also, one views the hills of Nazareth, where Christ spent his early childhood. Looking northwest, one sees Mount Carmel and the Mediterranean Sea. Southward, the mountains of Gilboa and Samaria lie as sheep bedded down for the night. At the foot of Mount Tabor is the great valley of Jezreel, which affords a direct connection between the sea and the Jordan Valley, cutting a flat rolling belt all the way across the Holy Land. It's more than a great stretch of the Holy Land one views from the summit of Mount Tabor. It's a cyclorama of the tumultuous history of Israel. Standing atop the mountain, one looks down on the ill-fated battleground of the nations. From the dawn of history, the Valley of Jezreel, the largest in Israel, has resounded to the tramping of marching feet, and the flapping banners of invading and clashing armies have been wet with the lingering dews of Mount Tabor and Mount Hermon. The valley is exceedingly fertile, for it has been irrigated with hostile blood and fertilized with men's bones as has no other part of the surface of the earth. To anticipate what will befall mankind in the end of this age, one must read portions of God's holy word in the light of Bible prophecy. God speaks about a time of future conflict and is described in one word, Armageddon, scripture, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, Revelation 16:16. The Greek word Harmageddon has reference to Mount Megiddo, which over the centuries has been a strategically military stronghold guarding one of the main entrances to the Valley of Jezreel. One of the most important battles in Bible history was fought in this general locality. Here, the Egyptians mortally wounded Josiah, king of Judah, when he endeavored to intercept the army of Pharaoh Nechoch. That's 2 Kings 23:29. Mount Megiddo, or Harmagaddon, the shielding mountain, is located at the entrance to the pass across the Carmel mountain range on the main highway between Asia and Africa, and is the key position between the Euphrates and the Nile rivers. It's been the battlefield of many soldiers throughout the ages, and the prophetic word of God, again, pinpoints this portion of land as the battlefield or the congregating point of the armies of the world for Armageddon. Scripture, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then shall the Lord Christ go forth and fight against those nations, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Zechariah 14:1-4. Writing almost 500 years before the first coming of Christ, the prophet Zechariah prophetically saw the Battle of Armageddon. Joel also saw the same battle 800 years before Christ's first coming. In the first century A.D., John described the initial preparations for the battle in this manner. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 16:13-14. We have every reason to believe that the Valley of Jezreel, or the Plain of Esdraelon, as some call it, which is approximately 40 miles north of Jerusalem, will be the place where the armies of the world will be congregated by the Antichrist, and they will attack Jerusalem from this valley. Scripture, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Christ, set on the horse and against his army. Revelation 19:19. Therefore, we believe that the place for the gathering of the troops for Armageddon will be the Valley of Jezreel, and we know the central place of attack will be the city of Jerusalem to the south. The armies of the world will be gathered to oppose Jerusalem, the reason being Christ will return to Jerusalem, and there he will establish an international headquarters for his rule of righteousness lasting 1,000 years. The scripture declares that Armageddon will take place at the second advent of Christ. Scripture, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Joel 3:16-17, KJV. Jude, the half-brother of James, wrote a most interesting account concerning Armageddon and the unmerciful judgment which Christ will execute upon the nations of the earth. Scripture, and the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and know convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 14:15. Of course, you know that just has one chapter, so those are two verses there. Okay, Armageddon is to take place immediately after the Great Tribulation. Oftentimes when folks speak of the tribulation, they do not realize it's divided into two parts. Number one, the tribulation, and two, the Great Tribulation. The tribulation in its two parts is identified to students of Bible prophecy as the 70th week of Daniel. But the Great Tribulation, which is the last half of Daniel's 70th week, is a time of the Antichrist's 42-month rule, at which time the wrath of Almighty God is to be unleashed upon a world of unbelievers. Scripture, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Revelation 19:11-15. This will take place immediately after the Great Tribulation has run its course. scripture. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. Praise the Lord. The positioning of the War of Armageddon in the overall plan of God through the ages shows that it will take place immediately after the marriage supper. Prior to the marriage supper, there will be the judgment of the Christian's works. This judgment will take place during the first part of Daniel's 70th week. Once the 42-month rule of the Antichrist has run its course, the two witnesses will have been slain and resurrected. Those who have died for the word of God will also be resurrected and will meet Christ and the armies of heaven coming from heaven, and all will come to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon and establish a rule of righteousness upon the earth. Scripture, and they, the two witnesses, heard a great noise from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. Revelation 11 and verse 12. Scripture, and white robes were given unto every one of them, tribulation saints, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. That's Revelation 6 and verse 11. The Battle of Armageddon is to be fought when Jerusalem is partially surrounded by the armies of the nations under the leadership of the Antichrist. One must realize that Jerusalem is the center of the earth's land surface, Ezekiel 5 and verse 5. Throughout the centuries, Jerusalem has been the focal point of Bible prophecy in fulfillment. Millions of soldiers have died and shed their blood because of Jerusalem. Therefore, realizing it is to become of added importance in the end of this age. We must understand that the Antichrist will gather the armies of the world in opposition to Christ, and when Jerusalem is again besieged by Gentile military forces, Christ will come again. Praise the Lord. Scripture, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Luke 21, 20 and 22. The War of Armageddon will take place prior to the millennial reign of Christ. Although there is a military conflict spoken of in Scripture to take place after Satan is loosed out of his prison, that particular war will be very short-lived because fire will come down from God out of heaven and destroy all those who are participants. That's not the War of Armageddon. That war will take place after the millennial reign of Christ on the earth, but the War of Armageddon will take place prior to the millennial reign. Revelation 19:20. The casting of the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire is part of the work of Jesus Christ during Armageddon in order to rid the world of satanic influence so his reign of righteousness for 1,000 years can be successful. Presently, Satan is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8. But once the beast is cast into the lake of fire, together with his partner, the false prophet, in the vernacular of our modern day, there will be clear sailing for the establishment of a reign of righteousness upon the earth by Christ for 1,000 years. This will take place at the conclusion of the War of Armageddon. Scripture. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him, Christ, that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19, 21, KJV. This massacre will complete the final preparations for the great supper of God Almighty. Scripture, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Revelation 19, verses 17 through 18. The War of Armageddon will take place at the conclusion of a tyrannical reign by the Antichrist, at which time 10 kingdoms inside the Roman Empire territory will have been revived and given their power and strength unto Satan's Antichrist. Scripture, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and gather their kingdom unto the beast, so the words of God shall be fulfilled. Revelation 17, verses 12, 13, and 17 in your KJV Bible. In other words, in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, during which time the Antichrist will have been tremendously successful, he will receive the generous cooperation of 10 nations in Europe. The Bible plainly declares it's during the lifetime of these kings, rulers, that Jesus Christ will return to the earth to establish his millennial reign. Scripture, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2 and verse 44, KJV. I don't know about you all, but I'm about ready to run on the block for praising God because he's going to establish peace. May I suggest you also read Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and verses 18 through 27. The War of Armageddon will be fought at a time when worldwide conditions will be the same as in the days of Noah and Lot. Scripture, for the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39, KJV. In other words, the very essence of evil and hypocrisy, together with an air of disrespect for all that is godly and sacred, will prevail throughout the tribulation period, especially during the Great Tribulation. When such conditions have reached their climax under the dictatorial control of the Antichrist, God will decree the end of his patience with those who have disregarded him, and then his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, return to bring an end to that which has been contrary to God's will. Scripture, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Revelation 19:15. All we have to do today is ascertain that a repeat of the days of Noah is upon us, to compare the daily newspaper with the Bible. Sometimes when you're reading your Bible, you might think you're reading the morning edition of the current crime report. Pardon me, I mean the newspaper. Scripture, this though also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, KJV. The War of Armageddon will be fought when the inhabitants of the world have reached a low degree of degradation and the masses of the world's population are practicing violence and disregard for law and order. Armageddon will be God's wrath poured out upon an unregenerated population. God will withdraw his grace, and instead mankind will suffer the consequences of God's wrath. The War of Armageddon will take place at a time when Israel will be gathered from most of the nations of the earth. At this particular lesson, a remnant of the Israelites have returned to their homeland from approximately 110 nations of the earth, but when the War of Armageddon takes place, the Israelites will be gathered or will be in the process of returning to their homeland from the nations in which they have been scattered for many long centuries. Scripture. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sight of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, the Jews, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. The War of Armageddon will not be an ordinary battle or series of battles between two great opposing armies. On one side, in battle array, will be the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the Gentile armies gathered from the nations of the earth. On the other side, in battle array, will be Christ, his heavenly armies, and the Israelites. The Israelites will be the bait or political reason why the armies of the earth will congregate themselves outside the perimeter of Jerusalem in the Valley of Jezreel. Christ will come down from heaven, followed by the armies of heaven, and with the sharp sword which goeth forth from his mouth, will slay literally millions of soldiers who will die in a 50-mile circle around Jerusalem. This will be the last great conflict, and naturally it will climax all battles in scope, intensity, and purpose. Christ being all-powerful, the battle will not be a long, drawn-out affair, but in all probability it will last only one day. Scripture, and it shall come to pass in that day, the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, what day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Zechariah 14, verses 6 and 7, NKJV. The results of the Battle of Armageddon will be a total and complete defeat of satanic forces under Satan and his Antichrist. The beast and the false prophet will be consigned to the lake of fire forever, according to Revelation 19:20, KJV. Israel will be delivered and vindicated, and God's eternal kingdom will be set up, which will bring in a millennium of righteousness upon the earth. Therefore, much will be accomplished because of the War of Armageddon, and practically every facet of man's present-day armies indicate that we are fast approaching the War of Armageddon. Mount Megiddo, strategically located at the opening of a narrow pass on the great highway connecting the lands of Egypt and Assyria, entrance to the Valley of Jezreel, which we believe will figure in the War of Armageddon, played an important role in World War I. In that year war, British troops successfully invaded the north of Palestine through the Megiddo Pass, and Field Marshal Allenby, the commander-in-chief, because his army was victorious, was given the title of Lord Allenby of Megiddo. The commander-in-chief of Armageddon, who also will be victorious, will be granted the title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the next lesson will be the three heavens.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9600. 17.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that,
click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
And finally, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us as we pull into the station tonight?
Well, we got God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you, Sister Emily, and me.
All right. Well, Sister Emily, any questions, comments, or prayer requests as we come into the station?
Sister Emily.
My phone is being a moron.
Oh.
Oh, no.
It's about ready to learn how to fly with no wings.
Well, maybe. Maybe you got to get a Samsung.
This is a Samsung. And you know, for anybody that has Samsung and says Samsungs are better than Androids, hate to tell them, Samsungs are powered by Android.
Well, what you need is to get one fancy like Pastor Bonnet, see?
Oh, there.
Not.
Well, and we've had a lot of, I guess.
Got to get one of those expensive phones like Pastor Bonnet has. Then you have a lot. It'll work better.
Not. I ain't John D. Rockefeller either.
I thought you were. I heard you had lots of money.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, right. If I did, I wouldn't have the debt I got hanging over my head in two different directions.
Yeah. Well, anyway, just having fun with you. But anyway, so any questions on those messages there, Em? What'd you think of that one, You Are Special? What'd you think of that one?
That was cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Honey, who was singing the altar call? That was great.
I don't know. I don't know who did that.
Me neither, but I'm guessing. That.
But anyway, so with that, any other prayer requests, Emily, or are you good?
For Annabelle, Mom, me, our first responders, our government, our ministry, the radio station, and with that, I'm complete.
Okay, Ruth, you good?
Yeah, I covered everything I wanted to cover when I said it earlier.
Okay. Well, Lord Jesus, we want to ask you to now touch each of these requests. We ask you, Lord, as we depart this place, but not your presence, that you would now touch each and every one of us. We ask you to touch the Six Eyes Radio Network, the blind ministry, and every one of us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back to the next appointed time. We ask you to touch Brother Quick and his wife and bring them to us tomorrow night. And we ask you now that you would touch each of us now as we go to sleep. Watch over us as we sleep and bring us back in the morning. Your will be done. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everybody. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Amen. Love everyone. Bye-bye.